Goes to Luke, the 10th chapter. I would encourage you, if you have a King James, to follow me in the King James, because the other versions may not emphasize the wording that I am addressing. I want to speak on things, T-H-I-N-G-S, or these things. If you're from the South, it's things, or thing. Luke chapter 10, it is a familiar story of Jesus in another room, and we'll pick up at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. I wonder how he said that. Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. I'm sure it was sweet. Martha, Martha. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Underline that word, things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, and shall not be taken away from her. She just wasn't troubled about that situation. Jesus said that you get uptight about many things, Martha. You get upset about many things. I could only speculate what those things would be according to that culture. Maybe she didn't like the sheep that maybe woke her up in the morning. Maybe the rooster that woke and crowed troubled her. We don't know, but she was troubled and upset about many things. And the Lord doesn't want his believers and those that love him to be troubled. I'll always remember my father as a new Christian. Very sensitive, picked up, I was troubled. Came to me, and as a new believer, put his arms around me and said, Son, please don't be upset. I want you to turn to John, the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapter. As you know, I have spoken that I have been diving into these words for the last few years. I read it probably at least 3 or 4 times a week. It begins to have an effect upon you. These are the last words that Jesus had that were so intimate before he went to the cross. But let's look at one particular verse, and it's found in chapter 16. And I repeat the word, these things. Remember when Jesus said to Martha, you're troubled about many things. But now we're going to find that this word these things are going to be repeated quite often. How many remember Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through Christ? What are those things? What were the things that troubled Mary? Before I read this passage, how many ever get upset? I'm upset that you won't respond. How many, you don't need to respond now. You get your feelings hurt. You get troubled, you get upset about And I'm not limiting this to the persecution. Jesus, when he said, and let's read it in St. John 16, verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." That means bothered, upset, troubled. It could be anything. So this message is for anything that is upsetting you. From too many commercials, to politics, to the conditions, people's character, and the list could go on and on. This message is for you. I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. How many times, especially this time of the year, people can experience loneliness? That's troubling. That's upsetting. Other families gather and you look and you find yourself alone. I visited Brother Parrish yesterday, and that was one of the things that he shared, missing his wife. We may interpret the word offense as too narrow. I want to broaden this word offend to other areas, and I think we'll see that this is true, because all of us know what it is to have feelings we don't enjoy. We get troubled. We get irritated. We find ourselves maybe like Martha. You're troubled about a lot of things. It isn't just people that can offend you. Circumstances can offend you. Does Christianity address offenses? Every one of them. Jesus said in St. John 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And may we broaden the medicine and realize it's not just for one affliction. Now, right up front, I have counted the times starting this talk that Jesus had with his disciples and also for us, how many times he used the word "these things." There's about a dozen of them. 14 times it's mentioned. We'll not preach on all of them, or that might upset you. These things. We're going to go through just briefly some of them from the beginning of the talk that starts at chapter 14 and ends at chapter 17. He uses these words, "these things." So when Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended," what things should come to our mind and to our hearts so we can put some rubber to the road? Let's begin at chapter 14. And here he begins his talk. And look at chapter 14 and verse 25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." We're going to look at those things, because these things are the things that he's saying are important for us to grasp, that we be not upset. Chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Please look at chapter 15 now and verse 11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." I hope this message helps you. I certainly didn't come to hurt you. I came, hopefully, that it might be a blessing. Chapter 15, verse 17. "These things I command you, that you love one another." chapter 15, verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you. Now we come to our text, chapter 16 and verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. So now that we have gone back and identified these things, we can now begin to meditate on these things. How many would like to go through life being less upset than you have? Let us take notice right up front that these things that I've spoken to you, he said that you should not be offended. That word should teaches us that it's not going to be automatic just because he said it. I've known a lot of Christians like Martha that get troubled about many things. It teaches us it's not going to happen just because he said it. Because he said should not, that means there's an invitation on our part to cooperate with these things. Should not is not the same as would not, or could not, or will not. If you don't want to have bad feelings, if you don't want to get upset, if you don't want to get irritated, then let us now see these things he's talking about. And what can I do to cooperate with these things so I won't be as upset as I get at times? Now remember, Jesus said offenses would come. You can't stop the offenses. But these things are to instruct us how to respond to these offenses rightly. All of, quote, these things require us to turn our attention to the truths that he is setting forth, that we are told to believe. Again, I want to pick up on last week's message, what is more important, character or faith? And I concluded, and I hope you would see, faith is more important than character. Character is important, but faith is more important. And we're since that, the Lord has challenged me to build your faith and to preach to help our faith. And so here is where we're going to see the importance of faith, and that we might believe these things. And I would inject one thought as I was praying and meditating over this message. Nothing is said in John 14, 15, 16, or 17 to focus on people. Nothing is said in this talk for you to focus on your circumstances that are offending you. Nothing is said for you to try and change the circumstances or the person that is irritating you or troubling you or offending you. Please notice our master's wonderful, insightful words in John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. Okay, what is the these things? If you have joy in you from the Lord, then the joy is going to push out the irritation of the things that are troubling you, that offend you, that cause feelings. What's that song, Feeling? All my life is feeling. Jesus wants us to have faith. All my life is faith. What else are these things? That my joy may remain in you. If you have joy from the Lord, which is our strength, it's going to shove out. They can't both abide at the same time. The truth we are to believe before we practice it is we're going to see to abide in Jesus. Do you believe? How many of you are believers today? If you abide in Jesus, you're going to have some joy. I want to repeat that. If you abide in Jesus, not just with a doctrinal agreement, but I mean within Him we live and move and have our being. And if that is the case, you're going to have the peace, you're going to have the joy that the Lord wants us to have. I again am preaching to myself just as much as you hear. I repeat, there are many things that can upset a Christian or cause feelings that are not enjoyable and trouble us. They're not any fun. When we are offended or things go against us, we have feelings. We get upset. We get irritated. We get mad. We get moody. We get sulky. We get pouty. All these feelings that I've experienced, all these feelings can come because we came across an offense, and that is how we are responding to the offense. But Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you so you won't be offended, thus so you won't have those uncomfortable feelings." By the way, do you know it takes a lot of energy to maintain anger? It takes a lot of energy to maintain these negative, unpleasant moods and feelings. And why do we do it? Let me say this. I've learned something about human nature. It's not flattering. So what I'm about to say is not going to flatter our fallen human nature. People have learned, I have learned, that they can get sympathy for being offended. They can get attention for being hurt. Now, not all people share their hurt. Some people, they have a good way of not letting people know they're hurt. But there are some that you can see they kind of let it be known, and they wear the offense. This past summer, I noticed a child hurt himself, and he was rightfully crying. I expected him to cry. He got a good owie. And as we were trying to comfort this grandchild of mine and showing him sympathy and showing him compassion, he began to enjoy the sympathy, and he began to enjoy the compassion. And then he realized, I won't get no more sympathy if I show my joy that I'm enjoying this attention. So he had to make a choice, and it was difficult for him, because for a moment, I did something ridiculous to make him laugh, to get his mind off of his owie. He really, I don't want to say who it is, they listen to hear the message and I'm in trouble. Don't be offended. But for a moment, my grandson saw Grandpa acting like a knucklehead. And how many know I can act like a knucklehead? And he laughed. I thought, good, I've got his attention off of his owie. And then he looked back at this and he thought, but if I do that, I won't get any more attention. So he went back to, And then I had to do another ridiculous act. I do all things for Christ. And eventually he made a decision. He would rather have the joy than have the sympathy over the owie. That is true throughout life. Do you know there are people that can get addicted to the sympathy that is shown them rather than the remedy that is offered them? Let me try to bring out this truth, I pray, in a way that will not offend you. There are people that would rather stay sick because they get a disabled check. They'd rather have that than get better and have to go to work. There are people that would rather get a check than get a job. I didn't expect to hear a loud amen, but I'm not offended. That is why Jesus, if you'll recall, asked a man at the pool of Bethesda, it seems like the most ridiculous question, but he said to him, "You want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole?" What do you mean, do I want to get well? Do I want to get whole? I've been here for many years, and every time I try to get into the water, somebody beats me. And Jesus asked him a question so he would make a decision. Do you want sympathy or do you want a healing? And he made the decision, I want a healing. So we have to make a choice. Do I want to apply these things? Or do I want to remain in the offense and hold on to the feelings that I don't enjoy, but I'll hold on to them just because I'm kind of addicted to the sympathy that I get because of them? Let's look at these things again. Wow. The first thing that Jesus, these things, is found in John 14:25. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Now what things? So you have to go back to see that these things. This is the first clump of these things. It's found again in verse 11. Or let me say, when he starts off, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." What a wonderful, encouraging word that could come to all of us. And then he went on and he asked a question in verse 10. "Believest thou? Are you going to believe me?" In verse 11, again, "Believe me?" Again in verse 12, "Believe me?" And then he promises the Holy Spirit that is going to come. And he said he will teach you all things. Do you believe him? It's important to believe him. And you're challenged to believe, and he's drawing us. Please believe me. And from this believing, it's going to develop a relationship that is to be developed, and joy is going to come out of the relationship as you believe in him. The second time he uses this word, "these things," is found in John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." What things again? I go back to see what he just taught. It's teaching us the familiar, wonderful parable that he told about him being the vine and us being the branches. And if we will abide in him, and he in us, and we're to abide in his love. And verse 10, "Just as Jesus abided in his Father," he says, just as I'm abiding in my Father, I want you to abide in me. And we know that Jesus abode in his Father and said, "I always do those things that please my Father." He was constantly in living in his Father as we are called to live in him. And if we're doing this, there will be a joy that he promised us. Jesus is teaching us these things because Jesus had been given some of these things also. Notice he says in verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." And here it is, "For all things," you see, he had a things list also, "all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Jesus had a joy. The joy that was set before him, the cross. And he cooperated with these things his Father had for him. And we are giving a list of some of these things also. And if we will do what Jesus did, we can have the joy that he had. Here is another of these things, John 15:17. "These things I command you that you love one another. Notice John 15:21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Let me just stop. There's some these things Jesus had to do with his Father. There's some things, these things we have to do with Jesus. And then there are the these things the world has. But all these things will they do unto you. Listen, the world has their these things. We have our these things. And our these things are greater than their these things. Our these things are more powerful than the world's these things. Our these things bring us peace and joy. The world's these things will not. I'm reminded of the scripture, I can do all things through Christ. What are those things? Come back and read the these things. Let faith have her place. Let the faith move you into a relationship, and out of that relationship and abiding in Him and Him in you, these things. Then you'll find that you won't be offended. And you might be at first, but these things and His joy and His peace will move them out. You won't be experiencing the gloom, the loneliness, the anger, or whatever negative feeling it could be, the blahs, getting irritated because pastor can't say blahs right. After chapter 15, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. There are some more things that are given. Let me quickly rush through. Verse 3 of chapter 15, and these things will they do unto you. Remember, the world has their these things. But we've been given some these things. And our these things be their these things. Notice verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. He has given us ammunition for our gun. But you must put the ammo in the gun and pull the trigger and activate your faith. Notice verse 6. Because I have said these things. Notice verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 15. All these things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and show it unto you. You know, the things that the Father gave the Son gave them to us. I want to ask you, what are you doing with these things that He's given you? As the Father gave the these things to the Son, and the Son gave the these things to us, we're to give these things away also. Notice chapter 16, verse 26. Yes, there's some more of these things. He says, as I begin to close, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I'm going to show you plainly of the Father. Here we go again. John 16, 33. These things, I said there's at least 12 times the expression is used. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. Their things give you tribulation. But be of good cheer. My things overcame their things. I have overcome the world. The world has their thing, but we have our thing. And our thing is better than their thing. And here we go again, John 17, 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Do you also know what has been given you is also of God? Let faith be activated and see what God has done for you. We overcome by faith, by believing from the heart. St. John 17:13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We're to take our these things and to give them to the world. Let your light shine. We have an expression. He's just doing his own thing. But I pray that it will be said of us, I'm doing his thing. Over 14 times we find this expression used. I only found two that the world has. We got 12 of them. Again, faith is doing his thing. This is a follow-up from what is more important, faith or character. Emphasize faith, and that's what the Lord has spoken to me. Both are important. So I'm desiring to build up your faith. Focus on faith more than character, and we'll see the great exploits for God. The early church really continually focused on these things. And they tried to build one another's faith up. When they came back, they'd say, let me tell you what happened and what God did. Debbie, would you come? And so I'm only sharing this with you. I haven't been sharing them, but at times I have. But I'm sharing this that you might have your faith built up. We're to give our these things to the world. I was at Safeway to pick up a turkey that we could heat. I saw a man at the deli behind the counter I had never seen before. And the Lord gave me a word on the man. It was for the purpose to build faith. I looked at him. He looked like he was about my age, 34. 66. 60, I'll be 66. And I immediately, the Lord gave me a word. It's for the purpose to build faith. And I'm sharing with you to build faith. I said to him, oh, sir, I see that when you were in high school, you played football and you were a tight end. He said, how did you know that? I said, the Lord showed me. It's for the purpose I'm giving him these things. To build his faith. I don't know anything about this man's spiritual condition, but I know that God does these things to build faith. I want your faith to be built. I want you walking and moving in faith and believing him. Would you stand with me this morning, please? Because when you're abiding in him, and he's abiding in you, you're going to have peace. You're going to have joy. You're not going to be offended. You're not going to be troubled. And just as my father put his arms around me and saw I was irritated about something, I was right, but I wasn't responding well. And he said, son, please don't be troubled. I thought, my goodness, he's right. I shouldn't be so troubled. And the Lord loves every one of you and wants you to have peace and to have joy. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. My things are better than their things. I can do all things through Christ. I want you happy. God wants you happy. God wants you to have peace. God wants you to have joy. But Pastor, these things, get your faith. Can I ask you to come as a congregation and let's just pray one for another? We're in this battle together. When he says, fight the good fight of faith. Keep believing. Not keep faking, keep faithing. I want you to not bring up what's troubling you to get you upset again. That'd be real easy. But I want you to just, in John 14 all the way to 17, he doesn't have us focus on those things. He draws our attention to abide in him. Could we do that this morning? Would you lift up your hands and praise him and love him with all of your heart? Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the peace. These things have you spoken unto us that we would not be upset and we would not be troubled. We would not be discouraged. We would not be lonely. We would not be feeling forsaken. We would not feel the trouble that the world offers. But, oh God, we would sense and feel your love, for in you we live and move and have our being. Bless your people, I pray, in the Holy Ghost. Let your anointing, oh God, fill them. Fill them with the Holy Spirit that you promised. Let the supernatural, I pray, operate in their lives, and may we hear from you and our faith be built up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, building our faith. Oh God, may we be strong, and we can do all things through Christ. And then our light shines. Our light shines. Let it be in Jesus' name. Turn to the person next to you and just pray for them. Would you do that? Lord, bless them. Bless them, oh God. Bless, I pray. Let joy take the place. Let peace come, oh Lord. Let you come. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let us love one another. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We are victorious in Jesus. We are overcomers, and we overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Oh, let supernatural things rise up. May they see your hand. May they see you, Lord, and believe you. May we believe you. May we believe you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe you. Help our unbelief, but oh God, I want to believe you. Strengthen our faith, oh God. Strengthen our love. Strengthen, oh God, I pray, your people, and bless them. Oh Lord, you're there. You're right here right now. You're here right now. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, give victory, Lord. Give victory. Give victory. Give victory. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm dying. Flow through me, Lord. To our world. Hallelujah. Oh, flow through me, Lord. This morning, and you question your salvation, and you at times are wondering, am I saved? I want you to make a commitment to Him today to clear away the cobwebs and the doubts. Would you repeat this prayer with me this morning, please? Even if you're a Christian, you may be one that has been having a struggle, and the Lord, if you're not saved, then pray this prayer to get saved. If you have been saved, but you've been doubting and having some struggles, then pray this prayer, and I pray that it will help you. Would you repeat with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know that you are my Savior. I believe that you're my Savior. And I want to live for you and put you first in my life. I thank you for hearing me and saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that from your heart, you're saved. And I want you to have His peace. Read your Bible. Read the book of St. John. Read the New Testament. It'll talk to you if you'll talk to it. Turn to somebody and say, Happy Late Thanksgiving.